After I read the passage, we will sing the Gloria Patri, hymn 734. This is God's word. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man was from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Amen. This is God's word. Today we are looking at one of the most important texts in the entire Bible that deals with the topic of death. And many of us, perhaps all of us, have had someone close to us die before. I remember when Arlena Mahaffey passed away. And at her funeral, it was fascinating to see how God had used her life as a testimony of his glory and grace. People from all over our community, all over the country, even all over the world, testified at the miraculous things that God had done through the life of Arlena Mahaffey. And so that even though we were sad at her passing, we rejoiced knowing that she was in heaven. In fact, when she was alive, if you knew her, we tasted heaven. Heaven had really come down to earth in a small way in Arlena Mahaffey. Well, this passage gives us hope in the face of death. And the life-transforming reality of this passage is that in Christ, you are being transformed into a new creation. And your body will one day be resurrected and changed. It will no longer be perishable, but imperishable. In this life, God is working in you to reveal his glory and to display heaven in your mortal body. And more than that, God is recreating everything. He's remaking this world to cleanse it of its sin and fallenness and display his glory in a way that is greater than we can even imagine. So let's look at how this passage gives us hope that we can have assurance in the face of death, and that he will change us in this life. Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians. And in Corinth, they had a very low view of the body. They thought the only thing good about you was your soul, because your soul would live on. But your body would decay and die, and so it was bad. But the soul was good. And the goal of life for them was really to escape the body or to indulge in bodily appetites. And that's why there was sexual immorality in Corinth. They thought the only thing the body was good for was to give you fleeting pleasure. And death was really an escape from life. Well, in our culture, we have an opposite problem. Our culture thinks the soul doesn't exist, that you're just a bunch of molecules and atoms. All you are is your body, and so our culture idolizes the body. We worship our bodily image. We do everything we can to make ourselves look beautiful or to keep ourselves from aging. And so many ways our culture and many people in our culture idolize the body and are fascinated by it because we think there's no soul and it's all we have. And so death for us is really the end of our existence. Well, Paul here in our passage denies both views of the body. He says your body will be recreated into something much more glorious than it currently is. He says your body is sown or planted like a seed. If you've ever planted a flower, you know the seed is small. It's without beauty, without real dignity. But if you give it water and it sprouts and blossoms, it's a beautiful flower and it looks nothing like the seed. Much more glorious and beautiful. Well, it's similar with our current bodies. Your body right now is perishable. It decays and deteriorates. Your body will disappear. It says your body is sown in dishonor. It means your body doesn't respect your dignity. You get sick. You're subject to pain, bleeding, and despite everything you do, your body breaks down. It's sown in weakness. Even when you are born, you're frail. Your body, your bones will grow and strengthen, but eventually your bones will waste away inside your body because you are sown a natural body. And that means you, no matter who you are, will experience the great tragedy of all of mankind, that we experience physical death. Your body will be destroyed. And in our culture, that means the annihilation of your existence, of who you are. But that is not how God created you to be. God created you to live, not to die. We were created for everlasting fellowship with God for all eternity. Everlasting life. In verse 45, it says, "It is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being." Paul quotes Genesis 2. It's the creation account. When God breathes into man from the dust of the earth, breathes into him the breath of life. And God gives him his own image. He gives him glory and honor and dignity, dominion over the earth. He gives us rationality, moral awareness, artistic ability, unlike any of the other creatures that God made. Adam was the leader of our race, and God gave him a command to walk in faithfulness. And had he obeyed, all of us would have had everlasting life. And yet, we know that Adam selfishly desired his own glory over the glory of God. And so sin entered the world. And now you and I, all of us, suffer the consequences. Death has entered the world. Now all of us are perishable. All of us are weak. All of our bodies decay and die, and it's because of the sin of Adam. Death came to us all, the entire human race. And not just physical death, but spiritual isolation and punishment in hell forever. And you might have come this morning not expecting to hear a message about sin and death. And you might think, I'm a pretty good person. I've lived a pretty good life. God must be pretty impressed with who I am. I go to church. I even fast. But God demands perfection. And what are the things in life that you've left undone that he has commanded? Listen to what God says through Isaiah in Isaiah 58. "Is this not the fast I choose, to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh?" So let me ask you, how are you doing at those things that God has commanded? Have you brought the homeless into your house, covered the naked with clothing? I know I am guilty of not doing the things that God has commanded. And no matter how good you think you are, how many good deeds you've done, all of us have fallen short of God's glory. And apart from God, it says we are dead in our sins, and we do not have the power to save ourselves. We are born into sin, worthy of punishment. And many people don't like to hear that because they think it's offensive that they are not good enough. But there is hope for you in this passage. And the hope is that there is one way out of this tragedy. And that is for someone, a Savior, to rescue you. You need someone to bear the penalty of your sins and to be obedient to all of God's commands where you could never be. To live up to what the first Adam failed to do. And none of your good works will ever be able to satisfy God. But there is hope. There is a last Adam, this passage says, a new leader of the human race. And this Adam is not a man of the dust of the earth, but he is a man from heaven. And this Adam is perfectly obedient. He loves the widow and the orphan and the stranger among us. Jesus' life is filled with justice and mercy towards sinners. He heals the sick and lets the oppressed go free. He does everything that God requires that we have left undone in life. And he goes to the cross to bear the penalty of your sin and to take upon himself the wrath of God. And so this Adam does not give you death like the first Adam. This Adam gives you life. Instead of you dying, if you repent of your sins, he dies in your place and he gives you life. He has become a life-giving spirit. And the question is, what have you done with the Lord Jesus? How have you responded to him? Not your parents or your relatives or your children, but how have you responded to Jesus in your life? Have you repented not just of the bad things you've done, but the things that you've left undone in life, the things you've failed to do that he has required, the times you in life you've known the right thing to do and yet you could never bring yourself to do it? Have you repented of those things? And it's not just the forgiveness of your sins. He is offering you forgiveness, but it's more than that. It's more than just going to heaven. This passage says he will recreate you in this life. If you trust him, he will breathe into you the breath of life. It says he is a life-giving spirit, and that means that the same life-giving spirit that breathed the first Adam into existence, the same life-giving spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he will give you that in this life. He will breathe into you the breath of life in this life. And you will have a joy and a peace in life that you could never have before. You will no longer be dead in your sins or feel the guilt and the shame of your failures. Ultimately, you will be united to Christ, and that means that your soul will be raised from the dead in this life. You will be resurrected. Don't you want that for yourself? And here is the assurance that this gospel is true, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Because of his perfect life and death upon the cross, he has been raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, is now seated at the right hand of God, interceding for those who put their faith and trust in him. And if you confess your sins, then you are seated next to him. You've been transferred spiritually from this earth, which is so fallen, into heaven. And that means you've broken your relationship with the first Adam, who's fallen and perishable and weak and dishonorable. And you are unbreakably connected to Christ. You're united to the last Adam, who's imperishable, glorious and powerful. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Your body will still die, but spiritually you've been raised with the Lord Jesus. Jesus had a bodily resurrection, and so you too will have a bodily resurrection. You're no longer perishable, weak, and dishonorable, but spiritually, and one day bodily, you are imperishable, glorious and powerful. And now, inside of you, there is a force at work that God is making you into something beautiful, and it's unstoppable. Nothing can change it. Nothing can stop it. God has planted a seed inside of you, if you have repented of your sins, that is growing into something miraculous and can never be stopped. You will begin to look like Jesus. Your life will begin to change. You'll find joy in God's word and his commands. You will see yourself as a child of God. And you will see that the real dignity you have is that you were made to reflect his glory. He gave you his image. And if you believe that this body is all you have, and that God isn't out there, and that you have no soul, you'll be turned inward. You'll be directed at yourself. Instead of giving yourself away in service to God and others, you will try to suck everything you can out of this life, and you'll idolize what you have, and you won't have any joy. But this passage calls you to see your body as a place that God is redeeming by his Holy Spirit, a life-giving spirit inside of you. Paul will say that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You'll see that your body is a place where God is worshipped and not yourself. You won't idolize or mistreat it. You'll say, God, you've given me this body to worship you. God, you've given me this body and are busy redeeming all of who I am. I'm going to maintain it, I'm going to take care of it, but I'm not going to worship it. I'm going to give you every part of who I am, my body, my mind, my heart, all of it belongs to you, Lord. Have you done that? Have you given the Lord Jesus, who is raised, every part of who you are? Have you asked him to change and transform who you are? C.S. Lewis once said, "The command, be ye perfect, is not idealistic gas. It's not a command to do the impossible. He is going to make us into creatures that can obey the command. If we let him, he will make the feeblest and filthy of us into a dazzling, radiant, immortal creature, pulsating all through with such energy and joy and wisdom and love as we cannot now imagine. A bright, stainless mirror which reflects back to God perfectly, though of course on a smaller scale, his own boundless power and delight and goodness. The process will be long and in parts very painful, but that is what we are in for, nothing less. He meant what he said." See, Lewis is saying that our faith is going to recreate who you are from the inside. It's going to transform you. The heart of our faith is the resurrection, and that is not some abstract historical fact. The resurrection is a spiritual force inside of you. Paul will say that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, that the Holy Spirit now dwells in you, and that he is unstoppably changing you. In other words, Jesus doesn't make you a better or more loving person. He alters who you are, takes everything that is dead inside of you, and breathes into you the breath of life. Don't you want that? "Just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." Everything that the first Adam lost in his disobedience will now be restored to you. Everything fallen about you, your physical body, your emotions or your will and your desires, your selfish thoughts, it's all being recreated after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are being molded and shaped. Everything in you that is corrupted is being renewed and better than it was before. And even more than that, your destiny is greater than Adam's destiny in the Garden of Eden. Your destiny is a recreated heavens, a recreated paradise. You're getting everything that God originally designed for you to have, permanent fellowship and glory with God for all eternity. The presence of sin will be done away forever. And yet that is not without pain. When a surgeon removes a tumor from someone's body, he has to go inside of it. He has to open it up. And that is painful and excruciating, yet necessary. And here in verse 36, before our passage in chapter 15, verse 36, Paul says, "What you sow does not come to life unless it dies." That the way the Holy Spirit is recreating you is by killing the sin that is inside of you. The more sin that dies in you, the greater life that you have. He's enabling you to see the glory and the beauty of the Lord Jesus like you've never seen it before. And that's going to be painful, and yet it is going to be glorious. Everything sad about your life, all of the regrets you've had and the mistakes you've made and the pain that has happened to you, it's going to be done away with. And the evil and the suffering in this life will be defeated in such a way that it will make your future life all the more glorious. He's turning the agony into a greater glory, and the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is revealed in us. So that resurrection life inside of you will soon unstoppably extend to the outside of you as well. Your inner man will break out in glory and renew the outer man. And so death for you is not the ultimate devastation in life. Death for you, for all those who've put their faith in Christ, it's not the end of your existence. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Can you imagine a glorious future for your life beyond the pain of death that will overshadow everything sad that you've experienced on this earth? Can you imagine that? And if you can't imagine that, maybe we should pray that God will open your eyes, that God would give you faith to see the beautiful things that are laid out in His Word, that He is redeeming this world, to see Jesus resurrected and exalted, and to know that that is our destiny as well. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, why haven't you? If you've been afraid of death and afraid of what's after death, give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not dead but is living, and desires for sinners with great big mistakes to come to Him for forgiveness. Trust that He's going to plant something in you that will grow and redeem you and vindicate everything broken about you in your life. And it will be painful, but He will turn the suffering and tragedy into a glorious future. And if you've done that, if you've confessed your sin, then you can have assurance that you will be raised bodily from the dead. Just as Jesus has been raised, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and you will be changed. The perishable will clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. You will live with Him in unending bliss, in perfect fellowship and joy for all eternity. That is what we have to look forward to in Christ and nothing less. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for sending your Son into this world to die a death that we deserve. And we confess that, Lord, we worship and adore the things of this world instead of you. We treat our bodies as if they were all that we have. We worship what you have created instead of you, our Creator. Lord, forgive us. I pray that you would convict all of us to have greater trust and affection for your Son, that we would repent of the sin inside of us. We praise you that the Lord Jesus Christ is not dead, Lord, but he is living. Because of his perfect life, he has been raised bodily from the dead and is seated at your right hand, triumphing over death. And we praise you that that is our destiny as well. We pray that you would shape us and mold us to look like the Lord Jesus Christ, that our thoughts, our actions, our minds, our bodies, all of who we are would be devoted to following Jesus. That you would be glorified in our mortal bodies. We pray this in the name of our resurrected, exalted Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.